You know, as I've thought about us as a church, I've always wondered, are we there yet? You know, the whole idea of that expression is about an excitement to reaching a destination. As I think about our 12 years as a church, I wonder if we're there yet. You know, we started off with this big idea of creating a community called Mosaic, a diverse community that truly existed to reclaim the message and movement of Jesus. But I wonder, are we there yet? I mean, we wanted to be a community that was so diverse, yet united in three big ideas. We wanted to be a people that lived by faith, that were known by love, and that were convinced to be a voice of hope. So 12 years ago, our journey really started at AMC Theaters, North Lake Mall. I remember we had planned on having our first service, and the mall was not even open. In fact, the theater had never been open. That week when we launched was the first week of the theaters being open. And yet God gave us so much favor. 6 months later, we started Visualite Theater. And man, having a church in a bar sounded like a great idea. It was, it was. But then we moved both our campuses from AMC and Visualite to Mallard Creek High School. And that was a blast. I remember the first service at Mallard Creek High School. No one knows this, but an hour before, we set off the fire alarm. Yes, everybody showed up. Fire trucks and all. All of our volunteer staff had to exit out. It was such a trip. Then we got relocated to North Neck High School. Yes, if any of you remember that, I'm sorry I mentioned it. But yes, it was a great opportunity though for us to really grow in terms of our character and grow in our commitment to our community. It was a great time for actually for us to collect our resources together and then to move into the Hope Center. That's when we began dreaming about a place, not another church building, but a center where we could be the voice of hope for our community. So 2014, the Hope Center was launched. And now, 4 years later, we just launched Mosaic Metro in Plaza Midwood. So are we there yet? Of course not, but we are getting so close.
Wow, huh? Oh. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down, people. So funny. So if you're watching online and Metro, hey, what's up? Yeah. Woo, yes. It's the shirt, right? Is it the shirt? This is my party shirt. It's my party shirt. I'm turning party. It's my party shirt. I love it. I'm going to keep wearing it. I'm going to keep doing it. All right? I might take it off, but that will be another party. And that's not... It's after party. It's not doing that. We're not doing that. But hey, glad you're here. You know what? You ruined this moment because I was like... I was actually like tearing up at the last scene of that video. I was like, oh, God's been so faithful. And then you guys, ha. I love you guys. Love you guys. Love you. Love you. Hey, so it is a 12 year anniversary, and I'm gonna be wearing this shirt from now on. This is from now on. But glad you guys are joining us. Metro, what's up? You guys, this is awesome. And in fact, this is a very momentous occasion because not only is our 12-year anniversary, but it's also my wife, the reason why Mosaic exists and still stands and will keep standing. It's her birthday. It's her birthday, yes. So Ashley, come on up. Yes, come on up. Yes, yes, yes. Yo! There she is. There she is.
You're trying to take attention away from your shirt.
Yes, I am. Oh. All right, so here's what I want you to do, guys, to do. Help me out, okay? So she is turning, or she turned.
You did.
It happened. 45 years old, right? And she is so proud of it. We were talking about how many push-ups she can do now. And it's she's loving 45. Yeah. It's awesome. I'm obviously younger. I don't know if you guys know.
1 year.
Maybe 9 years. I don't know. But hey, can we wish her happy birthday? Can we sing to her? Can we just do this? All right, let's do it. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ashley. Happy
birthday to you.
Woo! Woo!
Thank you.
All right. Man, so much fun. So much fun. So what are we going to talk about? I don't even know. I have no idea. I've thrown you off from the shirt. You're not going to take any notes. What's going to happen? Apparently, I broke the camera. Metro, I hope you're still watching us and joining us. Actually, I do want to talk to you about this idea of a journey. We're all on a journey. And the question is, you know, are we there yet? I mean, I'm sure you've heard this expression before. And, you know, as a church, we have been going for 12 years. And I think we are getting closer, but we're not there yet. And so what I want to do is maybe just talk to you about this morning, about your life and your journey, because I think we're all in a journey. I don't know if you know this, but you're all moving towards something. No one is ever static. I mean, you might think your life is like stopped and God's not doing anything and maybe you're not doing anything and life's not really moving forward. The truth is I don't know if you're moving forward, but you are moving. Like you are moving. You exist, you're moving, you're on earth, you're moving, you are moving, you are moving. The question is, are you moving forward? Are you actually moving towards the person you want to become, the person that God wants you to be? Are you moving forward? And so what I want to do this morning is I want to just really dive into two questions. So my whole conversation is wrapped up in these two questions. Number one, the first question is, where are you going? Where are you going and why? So where are you going and why? And number two is, who are you going with? Who are you going with and for? So number one is, let's put this up. Yeah. Who are you? Let's put the first one up really quick. And this is the first one. This is the first one, people. Actually, I was like, this is what the shirt looks like on camera? Okay. Sorry, I had a moment. Okay, so where are you going and why? And what's the next question? Oh, yeah. And who are you going with and for? All right. Listen, I am going to have a sermon at the end of this. This is going to happen. It's going to happen, okay? So who are you going with and for is a very important question. But let's get to the first one. Where are you going and why? Where are you actually going in life? You know, I think that sometimes it really does depend on where we're going and who you're going for. And all this idea of the journey and destination really do matter. I remember 2002, I believe it was, and my family, so I have two brothers, two sisters. And so we decided, Ash and I and our my siblings and actually their, you know, their spouses and my younger brother, we all decided to go bring in 2002 in New York City. We said, hey, let's go New York City. Let's do this. Let's ring in the new year. And so we rented this 15-passenger van. It's a bad idea anyways. And I mean, not to make a, it was after 9/11, which was a bad idea. We just played into this negative stereotype. Anyways, but that was bad. But what was really bad was the fact that we thought as adults, a 15-passenger van all the way from Charleston to New York would be fun. With family. And by the end of it, I don't think we were anybody was Christian anymore. Like it was, at one point, Ashley said something and everybody knew. Oh my gosh, this is getting real. It got serious. And I think at some point what happened is it was a good idea, but we didn't know why we were doing this. I mean, we thought it was going to be great, but it wasn't really great. We stood in, we got in New York. The world was in New York. And I don't know if you ever, you've been in New York for, you know, the New Year, ringing in the New Year. Anybody have done that before? Yeah. Would you do it again? No. No one would ever do it. People are waiting in line forever. You can't even see the ball. You're blocks away. Everybody's peeing around you and drinking at the same time. Like, it was awful. It was a terrible, terrible idea. I wonder, though, like in life, like for some of us, you move forward in life because you got a great idea, and then it's not really working out. I think the question is, where are you going and why truly does matter? And especially when you start having a relationship with God, I think this question of your life, the journey of your life, truly does matter to God. And so what I want to maybe just talk about a little bit is, are you really moving forward? Do you have somewhere to go? Like, do you have a purpose? Like, do you want to get somewhere in life? And then why do you want to go there? Like, why do you want to go there? Let me read you a passage of scripture. This is Jesus. He called his disciples, and he starts off, and he asks them this. He basically comes up to them. It says in Matthew chapter 4, and this is basically the idea of him calling the disciples to follow him. And he says this: as Jesus walked along the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, we know of him, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, because they were fishermen, obviously. Okay. And then Jesus says this: come follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. In some translations, it says fisher of men. And right away, they left their nets and did what? They followed him. Jesus kind of calls them into, right when they're doing whatever they were supposed to do, he calls them to something higher, he calls them to a bigger purpose in life. And I wonder for some of you, when you've met Jesus, has he called you to something bigger? He said, I understand you like to fish. I understand you have this idea of what your life could be like, and I know you live based on natural principles of your talent and skill and what you got to do, but there's an opportunity. There's actually a life that I want you to live, and I want you to step into it, but you need to come follow me, and I will actually make you fishers of men and women. I will make you someone that has a lasting impact in life. You know, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about this idea of being reborn. If you've joined us for the first time, and basically it's the conversation of what does it mean to have a new life in Christ? And I think this morning you have to understand that when you are invited in and when you say yes to Jesus, there is a huge possibility. In fact, it is a probability that God is going to ask you to live a much bigger life. There's going to be a bigger purpose in your life. And so this morning, I think you and I need to understand individually, not just corporately us as a church, but individually as you as a person, God has called you to something bigger. What is it? So the question is, where are you going and why? I know you want to go somewhere, but where are you really going? Have you asked God that? Where do you want me to go? What kind? I know I'm a fisherman. I know I do this. I know I'm a student. I know I do this. This is my life. But is it possible, God? Is it possible if I come follow you, then there's a bigger life for me? Is it possible? I think the answer is going to be yes. Yes. But would you be courageous enough to actually ask God, hey, what do you want me to do now? I mean, I know I have my dreams, I have my ideas, but what do you want me to do in my life? That would be the most profound question that you could ask. I think for some of you, I mean, there are seasons, like I think it happens honestly to all of us. There's sometimes we think we're moving forward, but we're really not moving forward. I'm actually going through this book, and I keep going back to it because it's really a profound book. I mean, it's a bestseller, and I think I've mentioned it before. It's Transitions by William Bridges, and he talks about these five experiences that we face as we are moving from one transition in life to the next. And a transition in life could be anything. It could be like a birthday, like a stage. It could be like, okay, I just turned 30. I just turned 25. I just turned 40. I just turned 45. I just got married, or I'm starting this new adventure. Or there are moments in life you know your life is going to change. But then there are moments in life where you don't know life is going to change, and things just happen to you. And he actually breaks down that sometimes people think they're moving forward, but they're actually moving sideways. They don't think they're moving backwards, but they're not moving truly forward in life. And so he listed these five things, and I just thought, this might be really helpful for some of you, because I don't know if there's anything I would love for today to happen, is for you personally to just kind of inch forward and know that at least you are turning forward, like turning north, like you're turning to a direction that actually allow your life to actually move forward, versus just looking around and figuring it out and not hoping to go backward. And if you are moving forward, why are you going forward? For what bigger purpose is it? So let me give you these five things, okay? I don't know, maybe some of you might be in them. I'll put all the five up on the screen for you, but I'll just list them. Number one is this idea of disengagement. And he says that basically sometimes people don't move forward. They move sideways. It's because they something has happened that disengages their daily routine. There, you get let go. Something happens that you just change. And all of a sudden, they don't engage. They're not engaged as they were before. Like for some of us, our jobs, our relationship, our motherhood, parenthood define us. And when things change like that, when a teenager grows up and it just is distant, you're like, I'm not the mom that I thought I was. What defines you changes. And so you kind of had a tendency to disengage. It's like this. And if you get stuck in disengagement, you don't move forward. The next one is this idea of dismantlement. And he says, like, during in transitions, things will happen to you where it dismantles who you are. It kind of just breaks things down. Like basically, people who go through grief hit this stage really quick, or hit this experience. The world that they had just falls apart, and it's kind of like it's just been dismantled. And sometimes when you have such a tragic grief, in terms of a death, or in terms of a death of a real relationship that you thought was going to go so far, it just breaks you down. And this is where you are, where you've experienced heartbreak. The problem with heartbreak is that there's actually another step to it. Like, you can't just live in heartbreak. There is a dismantling of what reality was, but now you have to put it back together and you have to move forward. And as long as you're just dismantled, you don't move forward. You actually move sideways. And so could you be in that? He listed another experience, and he calls it disidentification, which I don't, it's not really a word. He kind of puts it together. And he basically says is that anybody understands this idea of identification, right? Anybody know what identification means, right? All of us, we do, right? Metro, you understand what this means to identify with something. The problem is that sometimes in life, you hit an experience, and I think, you know, I would say sometimes people who are very transient. So maybe, you know, at Metro, you're kind of living it's in the city, and you are transient, and you're in the season of life where everything is changing, and you were a college student, and you are no longer a college student. And for some of us, this disidentification lies in the fact that you truly have a non-identity right now. You're like, you're not this, and you're not that. I think sometimes, like, people, like in my profession, they experience this. They were a pastor. They were a church person. You know, like, they worked in the church, and they've worked for so long. And sometimes the case is that some people work their whole lives in church. And what I mean by that is, like, they go to college, and then they get into, like, ministry work, and all of a sudden they're 35 years old and they're still doing church work. They've never really had another job in another field. And then all of a sudden something happens. And I've met so many guys like this, you know, that who start churches. And I'm so grateful for what you guys have done and supported Mosaic and me and my family. But this is rare. You know, most church plants fail. Most church plants fail. I mean, I think it's like, I think the statistic is like 80% of church plants fail. And so this is amazing that we're here. We've got two communities 12 years later. But I know guys who, you know, when the church kind of stops and they have to end it, they were a pastor. I'm pastor so-and-so. I mean, you know, there are people that their first name has changed. It's like pastor so-and-so. That's why I'm like, don't call me pastor. Just don't call me. Just, you know, because I never want that to be my identity. And when you get into a non-identity, you were a teacher, you no longer. You were a pastor, you no longer. And you can just wander around in life because you're no longer whatever you thought identified you. The fourth one is this idea of disattachment. Like this idea of like detachment where basically you detach from reality because the world you knew falls apart, but in a way that you realize the world you thought was real was not real. Like, have you ever had someone really let you down? Anybody? Have you ever had this? Have you ever lost trust in a leader before? Okay, that's a bad question. That's like, of course, right? Of course. And for some of us, though, I've met people, especially in this context, that you have so much faith in a person, like a pastor or something, and you forget he's human, or she's human, and it falls apart. And people walk away from the faith. People walk away from God because of a person. And what that means is that you wake up and you go, the world I believe to be true is not true anymore. You put your hope in a person, and then you find out that they've been cheating on you for years. The world as you knew it has fallen apart. You have, it just falls apart. And for some of us, we detach. We move away. It's not just an engagement. You do what you do, but you just physically move out of this world. That's why sometimes when people go through things, you feel like a zombie. Have you ever been there? I mean, felt like a zombie. Like, have you ever been like, I don't know what to do? I feel this like in a small kind of funny way when like my kids and my wife, when they leave town, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm like, what to do? I've gone to the grocery store. I'm like, what is this thing? I don't know. What am I supposed to do right now? I don't even know. Alexa, help me. I don't know. What? Like, I don't know. But it's actually a real thing. It doesn't let you move forward. Lastly, this idea of disorientation. And the trauma, what happened was so fast, it knocked you. And you're spinning. And you're not moving forward. Some of you might be there. My question is, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? And then why are you going? Are you even moving forward in life? That's something you have got to wrestle. But a journey with God, when he says, come follow me, is always an invitation to a bigger life. Moving past the boundaries you've created into a bigger experience with him. What is yours? What could be yours? And then why are you doing this? Why? You know, in Christian life, sometimes people say, don't ask God why. Have you ever heard that? Don't ask God why. Ask what? Don't ask why. Ask what? Scratch that from your theology. That is nonsense. Okay? Of course you ask why. Of course you do. When you're in a real relationship, so let me ask you this. If you're in a real relationship and someone hurts you, what do you think? What are you going to ask? What am I supposed to learn from this? Really? Really? No, you go, why in the... Something happens, right? You go, why? See, a real relationship always needs to know why. And so when something has happened to you, and something traumatic has happened to you, and you walked into Metro, and you're like, what am I supposed to learn? You need to actually ask the question, God, why did you allow this? Because that's when you actually get real. And you cry and you get mad at him and you say, this is not right. That's when you get real. You see, if you don't ask the question why in your life, you won't move forward. Because you have to have a bigger reason to move forward. And you need to know your why. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was talking about this job change that he's thinking of. And I just kind of felt like I should text him and just tell him, hey man, don't chase after money. As long as you chase after money, you'll never catch up. But if you chase after really what you want to become, money will chase after you. If you become the best employee, if you become the best person, like if you want to, if you become the person that every boss wants to, like, you know, they'll sell their kids to just keep you. if you become that kind of person, success, money, promotion will chase after you. You don't have to ever chase after it. But if you, as long as you chase after money, you'll always be running. See, for some of us, we're not chasing after the right things. You know why? Because we're actually running away from the wrong things. We are being chased by something. Your motivation, your why is actually, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be lonely. He'll do. No, he won't do. In fact, he won't do anything. Like, no. No. Are you chasing after something, or is something running after you? And you're just, are you running away from something? Know your why. So, where are you going and why? And then, who are you going with and for? Who are you going with and for? It's really all about people. It really is. It's all about people. And this is where you get your balance. Like in life, what you'll find out with Jesus is that he invites you to something bigger, but it's never bigger than the people in your life. In fact, your purpose cannot be the biggest thing in your life. Your people are the biggest thing in your life. Yet trying to chase after reality and forfeit relationships is the worst idea ever, ever. And so for some of us, we go, I'm providing for my family, that's why I'm doing this. I'm busting my butt because I'm doing this. No, you're just being a distant parent. That's all you're being. That's all you're being. Your kids would rather be poor. They don't know this. No one goes to therapy and says, we were just poor, but dad was always around. No, I was so rich and had no parents. I was so lonely. So, who are you going with? And then who are you going for? Who are you going for? I love this passage of scripture. Let me just hit this really quick here. This one, this is Jesus. He talks to Peter. And if you know Peter, Peter's this guy who wants to do anything and everything, right? But Peter gets a serious like gut check here. And he says this. This is Jesus talking to Peter. And he says this. He says, Peter, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And Jesus' guy, what? I'm praying for you. Jesus is praying for you that you won't fail. And Peter's the guy's like, I'll do anything. What are you talking about? And then he says, and when you have returned, strengthen your brothers and sisters. This is the statement right after he starts saying, I'll never deny you. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you. I'll do everything for you. I'm your boy. Da, 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 da. And then, you know, remember that story, cock-a-doodle-doo, right? He denies him 3 times. Yeah, that right before that, Jesus is like, I'm praying for you. And he's saying is, I believe in you and you're going to fall. But here's the thing. Here's why you're going to keep moving forward. For the people in your life. When you fail, you come back and you strengthen who? Your brothers and your sisters. Let me ask you something. Where are you going and why? And who are you going with? And who are you going for? The people that you're with create your life. You know this intuitively because you can spend 3 minutes with the wrong person and it can feel like 3 hours. Anybody have a story? Amy, want to share a story, Metro, anybody? You can, if you're a live stream, you can just kind of comment. Yeah, of course. Don't name names. First name will do. That's fine. Yeah. Now, you can spend 3 hours with the right person and it feels like what? 3 minutes. Yet your life is not based on time, it's based on moments with the right people in your life, truly. So, where are you going and why? And who are you going with and for? Regardless of your age, however young you are, old you are, these questions should haunt you, should move you forward, because these are the questions that Jesus invites us into. So as a church, let me answer that a little bit. Where are we going and why? Where are we going? You know, when we started dreaming about a church, we left Charleston, South Carolina, because we believed that God was going to use Ashley and I in a way that we really didn't understand, but we knew that we had to leave Charleston, South Carolina. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm from the Middle East, and I came to the States in 1992, had a radical experience with Jesus. I was a Muslim, became a Christian, and really felt that God had given me a purpose, and I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew I was going to move forward and just pursue him and move forward. I changed my major from an art major to, you know, corporate communication, because obviously art majors don't get any jobs. Write that down, okay? So we left Charleston, South Carolina to start Mosaic because we were convinced that what we experienced as a church was not enough. We believe that what church looked like was not did not reflect the heart of God. And the reason why Mosaic is called Mosaic is, for some of you, it's not based on Mosaic law. I know people have asked me that. It's not. It's like kind of this idea of a mosaic tile, kind of art piece, like where broken pieces come together to make something beautiful. And so what we say at Mosaic is that we are the broken becoming beautiful and being made beautiful. But honestly, as we move forward, what we've also realized is as we, you know, move forward in God, we are also the broken creating beauty. And so we just dreamed of a church that would be so diverse in every way, that it would bring so many nationalities and so many ideas and cultures together. And so I'm 12 years later, 21 nationalities here at Mosaic. We might have the highest like mixed couple ratio, I think, in any church, you know. No one knows where everybody's from. I love that. It's great. I mean, I think of all the millions of dollars you guys have given to this church, and we've accomplished so much. But I want you to know this: is that where we were going was basically this passage of scripture that Paul was talking to a church that was not Jewish. It was filled with a very diverse culture, and here's what he said. So he writes this letter to a church in Greece. And there are the Greek people there, the different kinds of people there. And he basically is telling them, hey, this is the church you've become. And I just want to thank you for becoming that. And I love how far you've come. And this is what you've come. And so this is the passage of scripture. If you ever wondered why some of the phrases we get here at Mosaic, this passage is very key. It's 1 Thessalonians 1:3. It says this. He says, you know, we remember before God and Father. And basically he's talking about the fact that, you know, he's writing a letter on behalf of some other people as well. He goes, I just want to remind you, and I just want to acknowledge how far you've come. And he says this, your work that was produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by, help me out, hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why at Mosaic, we say, that's what we want to be, a diverse church that lives by faith, that's known by love, and that's a voice of, that's what we want to do. That's where we're going. And why are we going there? We're going there because we believe that when the church of Jesus is not diverse and it's not based and founded on these three things, then people don't get to see a picture of what heaven is going to look like. They don't get to see how beautiful the body of Christ really is and what the church is really supposed to be. And people have said, you know, especially church people and that write books about this stuff, they go that the 11 o'clock hour is the most segregated hour of our country, you know, because it's church time. And everybody just goes to their own places. And I just thought, I mean, I didn't even know this before, you know, before we started Mosaic. I just had a burning desire to go, you know what, there's something else that we have to do. And we have to become a church. We have to become a church that is going somewhere on purpose. A diverse church that lives by faith, hope, and love. And why we're going because we believe that we need to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus. We're going because there are people, and you know them, people who've stepped out of faith, walked away from their relationship with God just because the church has either offended them or made them feel small. And it's time that we do not make people feel small. You know, I've shown you this picture, and let me show it to you one more time as we end. It's this picture that actually hangs. It's by Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh, and it's called Starry Night. I'm sure you've seen it. And Starry Night, let me just say something here. Those of you who don't know, this is a beautiful picture. But Van Gogh was a guy who actually wanted to become a pastor, and he was rejected by the church because he was too wild, too creative, too crazy in one sense, maybe. And so he starts painting and leaves and walks away in one sense from church. And he begins painting, and all of his paintings shared his life. He shared his life in it and told stories. This painting is actually telling a story. Have you noticed that the church is in the center of the painting, but it's the only building that has no light? Van Gogh was making a statement with this painting. He said, "The light of God shines everywhere except the church." And so this painting hangs actually in our offices because I want all our staff to remember this is why we do this. We do it for the Van Goghs. We do it for the people who have left. We do it for the people who go, no. There's more life and creativity and bigness. There's more faith actually outside the church than inside. There's more acceptance and love outside the church than inside. There's more light. There's more organic growth. There's so many things happening. There is no life in the church because the light of the church is out. Because it's been covered with hatred and prejudice and guilt and shame. And friends, we are here for that. And that is why, like, when we think about, like, hey, where are we going and why? This is why we're going, and this is where we're going. But who are we going with and for? We're going with you guys. We don't want to go without you. And I am so grateful for so many of you who have given millions of dollars over the years faithfully to move us forward, that we've been able to see hundreds and hundreds of people getting baptized, thousands coming to faith in Jesus and moving forward in their journey. I cannot thank you enough, but I need you to understand, we don't want to go without you. We don't, because without you, our purpose is pointless and no fun. And we're going to go with you. And I thank you for those of you who've been with us for the past 12 years. You've been faithful. Thank you for going with us. And for those of you who maybe need to remember who we're going for, we are going for your brothers and sisters, your mom, your dad, your best friend, your ex-husband, the ones who are kind of wandering around. We're going for them. That's why we do this. That's why I tell people, hey, invite the world, invite your friends. Because I don't know, I tell people, hey, you know, people ask me, hey, you know, I have a Buddhist friend, I have an atheist friend, I have a Muslim friend, I have a person that really doesn't believe, I just is into witchcraft. I'm like, bring them to Mosaic. It's perfect. It's awesome. It's awesome. Why? Because the most beautiful, powerful thing at Mosaic is you. Is you. God doesn't inhabit buildings. It's not in here. It's not at Metro, at the Midwood Cultural Center. It's not there. It's in the lot. God is inside of all of us. And when people are just with us, they're going to get so much of God. You won't even be able to understand. You'll be able to do immeasurably more. So thank you for being with us. And for those of you who are just kind of checking us out, hey, join us. Be with us. The good thing is you don't have to be like us to be with us. You don't have to wear this shirt. You don't have to like it. But I would love for you to be with us. Just be with us. Come with us. Join us. Because I know where we're going. And it's a good thing. I'll leave you with one last quote. I love this quote right now. It's by a Jewish mystic, like a rabbi. And his name is he has a title. He's like the Baal Shem Tov. And he said this. I just love it. He goes, he said, "If I fall, let me fall. If I fall, let me fall, for who I am becoming will catch me." And I thought, yes. So as we leave, I just want to pray that you would be courageous enough to move forward and just know that it's okay to fall. It's okay to fall because God is doing a work in you and he's going to catch you. And the work he's doing in you is actually going to catch you. But move forward, go forward. Come be with us as we move forward. So where are you going and why? Who are you going with and for? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you. Thank you so much for this day, what this moment means. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the people that are just, are surrendered to you. God, I love the fact that we are imperfect people. I love the fact that we are broken people. I love the fact that we are just regular people. I also love, God, that you've made us uniquely powerful in different ways. That we might be broken in one area, but we are so strong in others. And I love also, God, that this reality that I don't even understand, that in our weakness, we are strong. And in our weakness, you are strong. I don't even understand that. But God, I pray that would challenge us to move past the boundaries, move past all the things that keep us, and move us, God, forward in who you want us to be. So God, I pray that regardless where we are, God, in whatever campus, that during this last song, we would go to the cross, we would go receive communion, light a candle, knowing all the way, God, if we fall, let us fall, for who we're becoming will catch us. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.